Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, and myself, Brady Quinn. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is another busy weekend in the NFL. There are six teams on a bye. Who cares? There's still quality matchups all around the league on a Sunday. We will get into all of those here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are, making us a part of your Friday morning. We appreciate you doing so. So it is a Football Friday here on Fox Sports Radio, but we must mention, obviously, the big news for those of you waking up in Los Angeles, listening on the Blowtorch, AM 570 LA Sports, the home of the LA Dodgers. They have forced a Game 6, a big 11-2 rout, three home runs from Chris Taylor on Thursday night in what will be the final home game of the season for the Dodgers after they get eliminated in Atlanta. But here, at least they stayed alive. There is a moral, you know, at least the moral victories here. They stayed alive, Brady Quinn. The Dodgers, as you pointed out, who are going to lose in Atlanta, as you said during one of the breaks.
No, I actually did not say that. In fact, I am rooting for the Dodgers to get to Game 7, all right? We need a Game 7. Come on, Dodgers, let's do it. Let's figure this thing out because here's what that means for me. If they go to Game 7, I get to work less on Saturday.
Wow. So that's incredible.
If they go Game 7, we get to keep a healthy, happy Berto for you.
That's actually healthy.
A little while longer.
Yeah. See, I would disagree with that only because I think Roberto, the stress is starting to get to him. I don't believe that his liver can take any more Dodger playoff games. I don't think he
My liver's fine.
Okay, well, Roberto, you got to mix in a glass of water. All right, the water needs to be part of the routine this weekend, I think.
Oh yeah, I learned my lesson from last week.
Because here's one thing we notice. When you send the celebratory, let's do this, it's Friday, let's have some fun, when you go make a stop at the store after the Friday show, one thing we never see in that picture is like a case of water. Never see a case of water.
I don't drink water.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
Tap water.
Just give me that amber, baby.
Tap water, baby.
Yeah.
Give me that amber.
Some people just don't drink a lot of water, man. I don't get it.
Eddie hates water.
I have a phobia. Jesus.
Eddie says he never drinks water. He says.
Really?
According to Eddie, yeah.
Eddie, you never drink water?
The only time I drink water is when I'm playing hockey. That's it.
Huh. What?
You play street hockey or real ice hockey?
Ice hockey, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wait, why is that the only time?
Because I hate water.
Come on.
Like, you don't like the taste of that?
That cannot be the I mean, you got to drink water, E.
I hate water, dude.
I mean,
I don't like the taste of it either, honestly.
Yeah.
So, like, at dinner, you'll have, like, a drink and, like, a water next to it. You'll never touch your water.
No.
Dang.
The guy coming around, filling up everyone's water, he doesn't touch yours.
I tell him, I don't need this. Go ahead and give it to somebody else if you want. And they usually don't. They never do. They're just like, well, we're going to just leave it here anyway. I'm like, okay. It's not going anywhere, but okay.
I mean, there are times that I won't drink water when I'm out eating. Like yesterday when I was double-fisted.
Yeah, you didn't have any water. I didn't see any water.
There was water there, but it just wasn't important enough to be in the picture.
I only saw two Long Island.
It wasn't important enough to be in the picture, so it was not going to be in the picture. So I'm with you on that, E, but golly, at some times during the course of the day, you got to have – I mean, I always say, listen, there are people be saying, get 4 to 8 cups in and all that stuff.
Much.
Hey, look here, man. I might get a bottle in, two bottles.
Oh,
try to get at least a bottle or two. I
drink like 32 ounces a day.
That's how Jonas actually doesn't eat food. He drinks so much water
That's he doesn't have to eat any food. Is that right,
Jonas? It doesn't do anything for me.
I'll have, I'll have 200 ounces of water a day.
That does not fill me up. That does not take away my hunger pains. Like, whoever said that water takes away hunger pains.
I haven't had that much water in my life.
Okay, so Eddie, here's the question.
That's like a pickup line for Jonas, by the way. Hey, by the way, I should have 200 ounces of water.
Well, listen, depends on
you think that's hot. You think I'm holistic.
Eddie, so what do you drink?
Anything other than water?
Okay, like,
I mean, there's sodas. There's water in
everything,
soda, right? So I'm getting water, right? It's good. It's getting in there.
The cow did.
Why not?
And you also, and Eddie,
there's water in everything.
That's right.
Yeah, anything liquid.
That's
water.
I mean, there is. Like, there's water in coffee, right? Yeah. It's brewed from that.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Eddie's exactly. perfectly healthy.
Eddie, but it's water. Yeah. I'm going with you. I'm going to push back on Brady. It's water.
Thank you, Lamar.
I'm with you. You do it how you want to do it, E.
Oh, man.
I think you should drink regular water, though. But that's, you know, I don't want to.
And the only reason I do it for when I play hockey is that, you know, I'm wearing like a cage because I don't need my teeth knocked out. I don't need to be like, you know, Brady's brother-in-law. So I can't squirt that water bottle full of like Gatorade through my mask.
Right, you got like the stickiness.
Yeah, I get all over
face.
My face.
Yeah.
So you got to go with the straight water.
So
there.
It's good enough for you to not get your face sticky and get your mask sticky, but that's it. That's the only time that the water matters is when you don't want
to. I mean, to be honest, I probably should drink water like, you know, after I work out and stuff. When I'm really thirsty, I'll drink anything that's cold, you know, and be like, okay, that's fine. I probably should go ahead and drink water then because I'll tolerate it. But otherwise, I just really hate it.
Or at least drink as much of it as you possibly can when you're doing physical activities. You know what I mean? So you can kind of make up for the other times.
Unless I'm doing something really strenuous, I don't want to like drink anything while I'm like working out. I don't know. I just don't want that sloshing around me while I'm doing that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Eddie.
Yes, Jonas.
Do you rinse your mouth out when you brush your teeth?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
is it with water?
I don't.
Yeah. Is it with water?
Is it with water?
No,
that
it's with the
counts.
That counts. All right.
Yeah, he just said that counts.
Okay. No, LeVar, he rinses it out with Mountain Dew. You know, that's his go-to.
I mean,
when he's brushing
some people may use 40 ounces. I've seen 40 ounces used to rinse out mouth.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
A 40 ounce to rinse your mouth out after brushing your teeth.
I think there's even on. It's on a movie even.
God, that's nasty.
They drank beer right after they were brushing their teeth. I mean, people do some nasty stuff, man.
No, that's just very bizarre. But hey, listen, man, Eddie, you know he's healthy. He's a modern marvel.
Drinks a lot of Fanta, Eddie. You drink a lot of Fanta.
Fanta?
It's got water Fanta. In it. Fanta. Yeah.
That's true. Good point.
I thought it was Fanta, but Fanta is okay Fanta. With me too.
Fanta.
Yeah, okay. That might be the regular the way it's said.
Yeah, it could be.
I could be incorrect.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
this got really awkward.
It did.
Yeah, really quickly.
So as we transition smoothly from the conversation.
How did this come up?
I don't know.
Eddie's sitting back there in total disbelief. Like, did they just out me on radio for like the last 10 minutes?
I've outed myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But as we transition smoothly from Eddie's non-water habits to the NFL, we are hearing some reports that we could have a return. We could have ourselves a return.
Of the Jedi.
Head coach. Of the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan was on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show and talked about his return of the great Jimmy Garoppolo potentially this Sunday night against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, he's getting better each day. I mean, there shouldn't be any problem with him by Sunday at all. Anytime you're coming off the calf injury like that, it takes a little time to get that soreness out. So you'll see it on some throws here and there. But each day it gets much better, and I think he'll be feeling 100% by Sunday.
So is that a wrap on the Trey Lance should be the starter moving forward? We're good on this, Brady. Jimmy G's back, and Trey Lance goes back to sitting out. I know he's been banged up a little bit, but here we go. It's still Jimmy's
game. I don't even think he'll be active for this game. But look, Lance wasn't ready. That was pretty apparent. And if San Francisco, that sits at 2-3 right now, wants to start climbing their way back, especially considering that NFC West division's tough. This would be a big win for them. Like, the Colts are on a much better path right now. Wentz is playing much better. He's not turning over the football. I think this will be a challenge for them. This will be a good game. You know, this is one of the lower spreads in this weekend's games. There's some massive spreads. I mean, you talked about one, But this is one where I think Jimmy Garoppolo comes back. I think he plays well in this one. I don't know that they win the game, but I think it's going to be close. And I think Jimmy G is going to have a nice little performance for himself coming back.
Yeah, I think it's a pivotal game again for both teams. Obviously, the Colts have been improving, but they are dealing with some key injuries. You know, T.Y. is 50-50 from what I'm hearing to go. Paris Campbell is not going to be a go. This is on the road in San Francisco, and Garoppolo is coming back. But you got to keep in mind, the Niners are, you know, coming off of a bye week. But before that bye week, they're on a three-game losing skid.
On the skid.
So if you're skid, let me tell you the worst
you're
time to take
like
a
Jonas.
Oh man, yeah. you take a bye week skid. That is the worst. That's the worst time. It's the worst time when you're losing like that, and you got to take a whole week after a loss, and then a loss before that, and then a loss before that. So I don't know the mental state and the condition of what the Niners will come out in this game and be. I think they are grossly underperforming to what the expectation of what this team would possibly be this season. But again, I think we are saying the same exact things about the Indianapolis Colts. And I think that that's why this is such an intriguing matchup, because when you look at what the Colts are bringing to the table with the steadily improving offense of this team, they're steadily improving as a team. And then you look at what the San Francisco 49ers could possibly be, and you're getting Jimmy Garoppolo back. This is one of those games where it could be a defining moment for one of these teams. I mean, maybe it could be a defining moment for both of these teams, because if you think about it, a loss makes their record look really ugly. I mean, these are both 2-1 teams. It makes your record look very, very unattractive.
When does Kyle Shanahan start getting some heat? Because he's been there. This is, you know, his fifth season. He's 7 games under 500.
They're always snake bitten, though. I mean, that's a team that has had as many injuries as any team out there.
It just feels like that never gets discussed. Like, it's never talked about. He's got, you know, great job security. And you've talked about he's a great play caller and all that. But, I mean, at some point, don't you have to start winning some games before we can justify continuing to roll him out and continuing to bring him out every single season? Like,
Think he's the problem in San Fran?
No, I just feel like Jimmy Garoppolo gets labeled as the problem in San Francisco. And I think
he's
there's
hurt.
I know, but
you're playing
with
a backup 50% of the time. That's a problem.
But I just think that Jimmy Garoppolo gets majority of the heat there. He's the guy that's always talked about in trade rumors. He's the guy that's always talked about we need
why?
To replace him. I get because he's injured. I understand that.
And he's the starter.
Yeah, but we never hear conversations about, well, what about Kyle Shanahan? Like, I mean,
you think if they fired Shanahan, he wouldn't get another job in a heartbeat?
I'm sure he would. Adam Gase got hired in a heartbeat. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan would. It just feels like that never gets discussed. Where he's at right now, he's had one winning season. He's had one playoff run with the 49ers. It never gets talked about. He never gets heat. Garoppolo gets heat. Kyle Shanahan never
because
gets
he's
heat.
Not playing. That's where I the mean, heat's coming from.
Oh, so like, coaches don't
he's
get heat?
Not there.
No,
no
they
because
get
they've been competitive and they've won games with C.J. Beathard and they've won games with Nick Mullins. Like, they've won some of those games. They've been largely more competitive than they should. They had half their entire defensive front was wiped out last year.
I don't know.
They didn't have Nick Bosa or Solomon Thomas and some of those guys.
That's true.
They have been through not only like turnover on their roster due to injuries, but like they've had a lot of issues with that. When they're healthy, they're one of the best teams in the NFC. He's one of the better play callers. I think if they moved on from him, that would be one of the biggest mistakes an organization could make. And he would go somewhere else and make you pay. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
I don't think they're going to move on from him anytime soon until they know what he can do with Trey Lance as well. I think that that should be taken into consideration. He may get some criticism. You know, no one is void of getting criticism, Jonas, to your point. But he does have some runway because they drafted so high to bring in Trey Lance, and you're going to want to see how that project pans out. If that project begins to go awry, then you will start to hear some real, real changing of how they're approaching talking about Kyle Shanahan. But I think he's going to have that time to be with Trey Lance and what that turns out to be. That could be a year. That could be 2 years. Could even be 3 years. So that's I mean, maybe the most, you know, sensible way of looking at where Kyle Shanahan is in terms of, unless they just fall off a cliff, right? They fall off a cliff and they're not really good at all, which, I mean, losing this game and only having two wins, you know, maybe it could happen.
Well, I think regardless of how healthy he is and regardless of whether or not he's with San Francisco moving forward, I think we can all agree that Jimmy Garoppolo looks like $1 million. And if you, too, want to look like $1 million but only spend a handful of dollars, you got to upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor. Brady Quinn, how many blades is that?
I'm pretty sure you said 7 minus 1, which equals 6.
Damn right. LeVar Arrington, when you donned the 50 what in Washington, you went to a couple of Pro Bowls, correct? What 50 was that?
Yeah. Sack!
That's right. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you here listening all over Southern California, Roberto, tell our people how many blades that is.
Says, Jonas. Says.
Damn right it is. It is Says. It is a 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave with Dollar Shave Club stores. Yeah, that's Dollar Shave Club in-store. So go to the store and find them. Welcome to the club. All right, so coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio, we are going to get into a discussion. There are some major injury concerns around the NFL this upcoming weekend, and we got a doctor in the house, a real live doctor to tell you all the latest and give you everything you need to know heading into a busy weekend in the NFL. It's yours right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Dr. J.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen, you know, there are some people out there that like them some Dr. Dre. There are some people out there that like them some Dr. J. There are even some people out there that like the song Dr. Feelgood. Mm. But on this show, we like Dr. David Chow. That is right. Mm. He is the pro football doc. He is in the house. Doctor, we appreciate you. Thanks for getting up early and hanging out with a couple of slappies here on Sports Talk Radio.
Well, that's quite the intro. The check is in the mail. Thank you.
See, that's how it's done. You know, that's how it's done. So, Dr. Chow, I got to ask you right off the top, what the hell's the Baker Mayfield injury? Because we heard the shoulder, and then we heard an update. Now there's a break. Can you explain for us morons listening who aren't able to comprehend what's happening with his shoulder?
No, I get exactly what you're saying. How is it possible that the report is that he has a broken humerus and he needs it to heal to play, but he plans on playing October 31st versus the Steelers in like 10 days? How is that even feasible? Well, here's how. When he dislocated his shoulder in week two, he did it the first time. And if you go to my Twitter timeline, I put up some video on it, et cetera, explaining it. And he dislocates his shoulder trying to make a tackle after the interception. But he comes right back into the game in the second half and actually plays very well. 10 for 10, 102 yards, 1 passing touchdown, 1 rushing touchdown.
Oh, wow.
with a harness. And no one really even noticed because he played fine week 3. Then all of a sudden week 4, he doesn't play as well. And all of a sudden it's always the shoulder. But in week 6, he dislocates it in a little different way. And we show that on the video. And it stays out. And it's a, quote, more severe dislocation where there's more labral tear. And when this happens, you often get what's called a Hill-Sachs lesion. Not trying to be too medical on you. But when the ball of the shoulder joint comes out of the socket and stays out traumatically, it can have a small indentation on the back of the humerus or backslash top because it came out the front and down on Baker. And that's the, quote, fracture that they're talking about. It is a legitimate fracture. But look, if it were an unstable fracture or something like that, how would he return to play for 2 series in week 6? He didn't play great, but he did return to play and throw the ball for 2 series on Sunday. And now with the soreness and swelling and additional tear, he misses Thursday. But I do think it's feasible and reasonable that he plays the next game in 10 days. And that's how a fracture can, quote, be played through, because it's not structural and it's not unstable. Sure, it's very painful and swollen, but that's kind of my take.
Doc, it's always good to talk with you. I got to ask you about Russell Wilson's, I guess it's his middle finger on his throwing hand. I know he's got a pin put in. I believe it's got like a splint or a cast or something on it. How fast, realistically, can he come back to play in your mind, given that they can't really afford to fall behind in the NFC West? It's competitive. But also being able to come back and then get up to speed to be the same player that he was before the injury.
Well, yeah, that big, huge splinter cast that he has on that we all saw is probably hiding a pin that's sticking through the skin at the tip. That's for the mallet finger. And, of course, the second injury was a little more proximal with the fracture, with the screws, et cetera. I said all along, once the specific nature of the two injuries were revealed, that week 10 was a reasonable target. Now, things have to break his way. It's not a guarantee. But week 10 was a reasonable target for the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. Now, my question back to you, Brady, as the quarterback expert, is how much do you as a quarterback, and does Russell Wilson, because I'm not familiar with the type of grip that he has on the football. Is he index finger dominant? Is he on the, which fingers on the laces, et cetera? I'm sure you would know that. If he doesn't have full ability to bend the tip of the finger, how effective can he be and how accurate can he be in week 10?
I think he's going to have a hard time, in particular throwing the ball down the field, which they like to do. And if there's any wind, I think he's going to have a hard time spinning it. I dealt with this on my right index finger. I had two pins put in, and to be quite honest, my fingers never felt the same since. Just the sensation rolling off my index finger. So I just think it's going to take him some time, in my opinion, in getting that feel or back to, or maybe getting closer to a new normal for how that ball is going to feel coming off his finger. But it's going to take a while. I mean, I would say more than just week 10, maybe even the latter point of the season.
Gotcha. And it's interesting in that case, too. Russell Wilson returned to the game, threw a pass on first down, and tried to pass on third down and was sacked, but didn't. I mean, and then he left the game, and there was the extra fracture as well as the mallet finger.
Dr. Child of Arrington here, my first time talking and interacting with you. It's a pleasure to talk to you and get your knowledge and your takes. I want to go to Dak Prescott, and he's dealing with a calf strain now. It happened towards the end of the game, seemingly. From your perspective, I've been saying all along, once the body is out of balance from one injury, it tends to go to another place where you're overcompensating, and then you might have something that kind of develops there, and then something else develops there. I don't want to feel like I'm reading too much into anything that happens to Dak Prescott, but I feel like I'm going to read too much into anything that happens to Dak Prescott. What's your take on him? Should we look at this as just an isolated one time, it's a calf strain, or should we be looking at it as everything is connected to that catastrophic injury he had last year?
Well, you know, obviously, in terms of underreaction or overreaction, the truth is always somewhere in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in the NFL, never too high, never too low. And by the way, LeVar, I'll forgive you. There's no way that you can remember, but we've been chatted before. You never put a name to a face, I'm sure. But,
okay.
Down to the Junior Seau fundraiser,
yes.
Golf tournaments,
yes.
And other things.
Wow.
And I was on the board there. So,
oh,
so
wonderful.
Just a hello. But
wonderful.
I'm sure when we cross paths.
I certainly don't remember a whole lot about the weekend. God bless Junior, because he made me – once I have a moment with a certain beverage, I generally don't go back. And Jameson, he destroyed me. With Jameson that weekend. So you'll have to you'll have to accept my apologies that there, a lot of that was blurry that weekend for me.
No question. I wasn't giving you any grief about
all right,
it.
Okay.
All good. As long as your cup of Joe right now doesn't have Jameson
indeed.
In it.
Indeed. No, I'm okay. I'm actually drinking ice water right now, so it's good.
So back to the initial question. Look, yes, compensation injuries are real, and injuries beget injuries. And at the beginning of the season, in the preseason, I was saying Dak will not be 100% at the start. And indeed, he tried to overdo it, and he got that shoulder muscle strain, the latissimus dorsi strain, that was said to be no big deal day-to-day, but he missed a lot of the preseason. Mm-hmm. At this point, though, I think that shoulder injury is behind him. That ankle fracture dislocation is essentially behind him. So I think this calf injury has very little to do with that. I think it's relatively mild, and I do think he will play after the bye, and I think he will be fine. However, calf injuries do tend to linger. I think he's going to be able to play well and throw, but he's probably going to be a little bit less mobile. A couple of years ago, Aaron Rodgers in early December strained his calf. You remember that playoffs where he really didn't run the ball at all because it lingered all the way into January? He turned down chances. I'm not saying Dak is that severe, but certainly it will affect his mobility some going forward. But thankfully, the ankle fracture dislocation is better. The shoulder is better. So he's just dealing with the calf.
Okay.
Now, LeVar, if he was playing your position, I think he might miss time,
okay,
right? You can't do what you do with being a little less mobile. But as a quarterback, Dak with his calf strain is still going to be probably three times more mobile than, let's say, my buddy who just retired, Phillip Rivers.
Mm. Okay.
Dr. David Chow joining us here on Fox Sports Radio at ProFootballDoc on Twitter. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on FSR. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here. I wanted to ask you about Joe Burrow. Now, the throat contusion or whatever the hell the injury is he's got to his throat to where, you know, he's giving himself voice rest, which to me just sounds like a cop-out. He doesn't want to do interviews during the week, but never mind all that. how impressed are you with how Joe Burrow has played coming off the devastating knee injury that he suffered last year?
I'm very impressed with how Joe Burrow has played because he's a young guy who, you know, also you have to think about rust, right, and rhythm. And he's overcome all of that. And at ProFootballDoc.com, we do something called an SIC or a six score about percentage of health. And he started out, I think, in probably low 60s in terms of his knee and overall potential production. But he's climbed into the near 90s now. He's done better every single week. And so kudos to him and how it is. And it's difficult, right, Brady? I mean, lead leg, you can't be worried about your lead leg when you're looking downfield. You just have to play. And I think he's done it. But young guys got to, like, get down when it's 3rd and 12 and you're 6 yards away from a first down, right? I mean, you got to live to fight another day. But with that being said, I think his the throat rest thing, I think Marshawn Lynch is upset about that excuse, but he didn't think of it.
That's a good point.
He should have. Hey, Doc, last one for me. Concussions right now, it's interesting because I watched Daniel Jones, I mean, literally almost get his head taken off a couple weeks ago playing against the Cowboys. He's back the following week. I feel like there's been a number of times we've seen players suffer concussions, be out for the rest of that particular game, and then come back the following week. I feel like it didn't used to be like this. Usually there was maybe a couple weeks off or at least a week off following something like this. Has it changed in regards to how teams are handling concussions and putting players back out there?
Well, you have to remember every concussion evaluation and every return to play is supervised by the independent neuro guys, right, that are not affiliated with the team. And so the protocols haven't changed. But I've noticed that too, Brady. First of all, in Daniel Jones' case, it was the quarterback that initiated the contact, right? He was trying to score on the goal line. He turned up into the defender. So certainly legal play, nothing dirty there. But yes, Teddy Bridgewater the week before returned in 1 week, Daniel Jones. And, you know, statistically, I think it has shifted slightly. It used to be slightly more people missed the next week. Now I think it's slightly less. You know, the pool sample size is still small. But think about this. I remember a hit this last week that Justin Fields took. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was a pretty good hit there. And a couple years ago, social media, Twitter, whatever, would have been screaming he should be pulled out of the game and he should be checked. And, you know, I monitor it from the command center and we do all the stuff and didn't see anything. I think, and it's not that the rules have changed or whatever, but I think in some subtle ways, and this is not being critical in any way of anyone, but our attention this last year and a half has been on COVID rather than CTE. So, you know, people don't watch it as much, so to speak. Not that the doctors are skipping things or skipping steps, but just in terms of discussion points as well.
Mm. Dr. David Chow, get him on Twitter at Pro Football Doc. I'm sure you get inundated with fantasy football questions and everything else as people are getting ready for a busy weekend in the NFL. They want to know their favorite players, players on their fantasy teams are doing. He's a great follow on Twitter at Pro Football Doc. Doctor, we appreciate you. Thanks so much. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, Doc.
Thanks. My pleasure, guys.
All righty.
There he is. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and
Don't
Jonas Knox are here on FSR. All right.
Don't y'all judge me.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, I didn't remember meeting Dr. Chow.
Well, listen.
I wasn't judging you. I mean, we meet a lot of people. Yeah, Jonas meets a lot of people too, and he'll sometimes forget. You know,
I've been. Really.
That's the thing. I don't think I forgot. Right. I just don't think I was there to be a part of the festive moment. Yeah.
It happens.
And I know this.
Trust me, I've been with Jonas. He's done the same thing too. Yeah, I'm terrible with names.
Yeah. I feel as though the narrative that is being created for me right now is that of I drink too much, but I really don't. I really don't.
I would
may
just
have
say
made
this,
me
though.
Sound like I drink even more with what I just did, right? That was like a guilty admission.
That's okay. Don't feel bad. Like, be proud of
you. You kind of brought that on yourself a little bit, LeVar.
Yeah, I know. I know.
None of us did that.
Yeah, I know.
Listen,
but I was just being candid and honest. Like, yeah, I wish I could have remembered. But let me tell you one thing that Junior Seau could do was drink Jameson, bro. Jameson. What he used to destroy some Jameson. and there's no reason to try to keep up with him on the football field. Junior was always the best at what he did, and don't do drinking games with him. God bless, rest his soul. But while he was here, that was the your kiss of death, you know?
Man.
Yeah. It was such a great time. I mean, really, from what I can recall, it was really a great time.
You know, nothing wrong with old Long Island LeVar.
But just because I had one.
Yeah, it's all right.
Maybe two drinks. That doesn't make me an alcoholic, okay?
It is two pros all and right. a cup of
Thank
Joe
you.
Here
I'm
on
a
Fox
pro,
Sports
not
Radio. Yeah, he's not. He's not an alcoholic.
There
he's LeVar Arrington,
Thank
Brady
you.
Quinn, Jonas Knox. Up next, we are going to have another edition of Over Unders here as we look ahead to a busy weekend in the NFL. It's yours right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it. Ha, la, la, la. Oh.
You go, Brady.
Get it, Brady.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best.
Do it. This is how we do it. It's Friday night. Feel all right. Party's here on the west side. There it is.
That was it.
That one.
That was
it. That verse was for all the player haters.
Yeah.
That be putting on the tweeter that you hate my singing. Kick a rock.
Yeah.
With no shoe on.
Yeah. Damn right.
Bust that big toenail up and go about your business.
That's how it's done. You know,
then wash your mouth out with some dirty toilet water. And then you'll be good to go. We'll be even.
It is two pros and a cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. We are going to be back on Monday here. Same time, same place, 6 a.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific. Got a busy weekend ahead. Can't wait to watch a big noon kickoff. Brady Quinn is going to fight. It's going to be a handicap match. One versus two against Reggie and Matt. It's USC Notre Dame week. So we're going to get to get violent on set there, huh?
Yeah, really violent. I mean, it hasn't really been a rivalry of late.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, I would say after
USC.
Yeah, after Pete left and the university fell into shambles, it's never really recovered.
Good
from all the shenanigans that were going on back then.
So good for you. All right, a little sanctioned Saturday there for USC. All right, here we go. Let's get into some fun stuff. We do it every single week here. It's time for this.
Time to put your money where your mouth is.
I have been losing.
You know you're a lying, low-life gambling degenerate.
It's over under.
All right, and for that, we turn it over to executive producer Lee Delap to find out how we did last week and what we got going on this week. Lee?
Guys, like every week, we look at the game that had the highest over-under, last week being Kansas City at Washington at 54.5. LeVar was the only one correct that would hit the under. KC won that game 31-13.
Yeah.
LeVar was also correct that there would be no rushing touchdowns from quarterbacks between Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But Jonas and Brady, you guys were right that there would be a winless team that got a win, that being the Jaguars versus the Dolphins in London.
Dang.
Herb. And lastly, you guys, Jonas and LeVar were right that Aaron Rodgers would hit over a 36.5 yard completion, that being to Adams for 41 yards in the fourth.
Say it.
So LeVar won.
So LeVar won again. Three.
I do love how the way Lee builds it up, like I could tell after the first two, I was like, well, LeVar won. Why does Lee keep going?
He just
it really
you this
wasn't suspenseful.
Lee. Yeah,
I kind of felt like y'all might have caught me, or we might ended up in a tie.
No, you win two in any of these, you pretty much won.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, he won three.
Screw you,
so.
Lee.
I did win three.
Yeah,
but he. Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah. I won. I beat y'all.
On to week seven, you guys.
I beat you, bro. Oh,
whatever happened with our picks last night, Lee?
Yeah.
What did happen with the picks last night?
Mine won.
We were 2-for-2. I mean, we still got LeVar hanging on there. We got to wait till Saturday with that one.
Yeah, that is true.
Brady and I can't get
they better cover LeVar.
Yeah, we'll cover. We'll cover. Right. It'll cover. It'll get covered.
You guys, on to week seven, the highest over-under being between the Chiefs and Titans at 57.5. What do you got?
Over.
Under.
Both these defenses are stinky.
Very true. But it will be under. Jonas, you're like, LeVar's been right. I need to just base it off of him.
So I'm going to take the under.
There you go.
Lee, I'm going to take the under on
peer
this.
Peer pressure.
Yeah.
There you go. But you're going to be good.
Guys, Eagles at the Raiders features two wide receivers from Alabama, that being Henry Ruggs and Devontae Smith. Number of touchdowns to these guys, 1.5.
Under, please.
I'm gonna take the over.
The fanboy Raider media.
I'm gonna go with the over too.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the over too. I want to see some of that, some Alabama action.
Yeah.
The nerds who cover the Raiders still try to justify that Ruggs pick. Like, unbelievable. Give me the under, Lee.
He's pretty good.
Guys, how will Tua
bear suck?
Oh man.
How will Tua bounce back under controversy? Falcons at the Dolphins. Number of passing touchdowns for Tua this week.
Well, what controversy?
Well, you know.
He's playing fine. Their defense stinks right now.
There's no over-under on his touchdowns?
Over-under on his touchdowns, 1.5.
1.5.
I'll go over.
See, here's what happened there, LeVar. Lee was trying to give out what the number was. Brady attacked him because he lost last week. Oh. This is what
I know. I said, "What controversy?" Yeah. That's all I asked.
Because you're attacking people.
I'm going to go with the under on this.
Go back to TJ Friday.
Lee, I'm going to take the over. Atlanta's defense, in the words of Brady Quinn, is stinky.
Oh. All right, you guys. Jared Goff on his way back to LA. Number of touchdowns for Goff, 1.5.
Over. Come on, man. over. Jared Goff's back, baby.
Wait,
give me
wait.
The over.
You sent an email over. About this. I thought it was either 1.5 touchdowns or here interceptions.
We here we go.
You want to do over under on interceptions at a half?
Well, no, I guess I was confused. I actually read the email. Sorry, Jonas. I was just confused if it was both or what
I'm
it was.
I'm looking at the email.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the over because it's going to be garbage time touchdowns that he's able to throw.
Lee, as you heard,
I'm with
LeVar
on that. Yeah. I'll take the over.
Lastly, you guys, possible revenge game for Tom Brady against the Bears. Passing yards for him, 303.5.
Oh, God, over. Okay, it could be 700. It'll give me the over.
I'm taking the under.
I'm taking the under, too. They're pretty good defensively.
Yeah.
That secondary. All right, Lee, just chalk it up as a win for me.
It's been a great week, guys.
Yeah.
If I didn't tell you,
chalk it up as a win for
me. I love you all, man. I love you guys.
Hey, go have a Long Island iced tea.
I think I will.
Time, man.
I think I will.
What's yours?
Happy hour!